Good morning, church. It is a great joy for me and my family to be here at Christ Church Horizon. So I'm thankful to give me then this opportunity to come and preach God's word. So please then turn in your Bibles to the third letter of John. We will read the whole chapter, but our thoughts will be governed by verse 11. And I'm quite happy to realize that my message will just be an add-on to what is already happening in this church. The title of the message, Imitate God. And also, it will bring something of, to remind you of something that we should not be doing, but also to keep on doing that which is what we are doing as we speak. I will read, then we will pray together. The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you, and that you may be in good health as it goes well with your soul. For I rejoice greatly when the brothers come and testify to your truth, as indeed you are walking in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Beloved, it is a faithful thing you do in all your efforts for these brothers, strangers as they are, who testify to your love before the church. You will do well to send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God, for they have gone out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Therefore, we ought to support people like this, that we may be fellow workers for the truth. I have written something to the church, but Diotrephes, who likes to put himself first, does not acknowledge our authority. So, if I come, I will bring up what he is doing, talking wicked nonsense against us. And not content with that, he refuses to welcome the brothers and also stop those who want to and push them out of the church. Beloved, do not imitate evil, but imitate good. Whoever does good is from God. Whoever does evil has not seen God. Demetrius has received a good testimony from everyone. And from the truth itself, we also add our testimony. And you know that our testimony is true. I had much to write to you, but I would rather not write with pen and ink. I hope to see you soon, and we will talk face to face. Peace be to you. The friends greet you. Greet the friends, every one of them. Let us pray. Precious God, our gracious Father, our Redeemer, our Savior. Again, O Lord, this morning we look up to you as the author of life, the finisher, the perfecter of the faith. Lord, teach us your ways. Show us Christ in the preaching of your word. May he be in the center of our thoughts, in everything that we do. May we imitate him. May he be that great example in our lives. Help our understanding. Help my speaking, O Lord, even this morning. Speak through me, O God. Use this mouth of clay to communicate the truth from heaven. Touch each and every soul in this gathering this morning, O God. Speak, Heavenly Lord, your people, your servants are ready to listen to you. In Jesus' name, the Church of God say Amen. Friends, we are living in a world of superstars, whereby people set up a model of life, a model to follow, a model to imitate. It may be in fashion or in talk. Even in the church, there is that escalating number of those who are for themselves, those who are out for themselves. They make sure that they set up a standard or become a model in which others had to follow or imitate, regardless of the fact that the road they travel leads to the depths of hell. John's main point in this letter is that you imitate good. But we cannot escape the fact that John wrote this letter in the days whereby counterfeit Christianity was on the rise. There were false prophets and false teachers, false apostles, the spirit of the Antichrist already operational. The question then is, how do I imitate good in a land whereby evil is regarded as good, where darkness is light and light is darkness, where bad sermons are an encouragement and good, whereby good sermons are considered boring? The apostle writes this letter with the very same frame of mind as he did writing the two preceding letters. It is a response to the false teaching that was pervading the church, trying to warn the Christian, since others had already withdrawn from the church. He's trying to warn the Christian of the evil spirit, the Antichrist spirit, Satan working in the world using false teachers and false prophets to mislead and misguide the sheep, to devour the church of God. John set forth a difference between a true, regenerated, born-again child of God and those who are just professing the faith, but in actual fact, they are the children of the devil. People who hinders God's work. People who hinders the growth of the church. The dead letter of John is written to an individual with the name of Gaius. We see that in verse number 1. A friend whom he mentioned by name. John expresses a very great affection for him on an account of his steady adherence to the truths of the gospel. Gaius, a man who was walking in the truth, if you look at verse number 3. Gaius, a man who helped the work of the Lord. A man who opened his home, his house to strangers and missionaries. A man who wanted to see God's work growing in his generation, whereby many people through him will be brought in to the house of God, whereby many people through him will come to the faith. Gaius, a man who understood the agency of the gospel, a man who understood the heart of Christ and the mind of God. And it is clear, friends, that this man did not withheld his money from the work of God. Strangers will testify of his generous heart. Strangers will testify of his cheerful, giving heart. He did not claim to be working for God while working for his own pocket. He knew that he freely received, so he must also freely give. So John writes and he warns Gaius and the church at large not to be like Diotrephes. You meet a man with the name of Diotrephes in verse number 9. He warns the church not to be like Diotrephes, a rotten potato in the church. A man with one foot in the church and another foot in the world. I think in verse 11, we can draw out three truths which governs the Christian life. Three truths which will drive us to imitate good. Firstly, it is hostility towards evil. Hostility towards evil. Verse number 11. Beloved, do not imitate evil. John is addressing Gaius, a man who was not actually imitating any evil. So what's the point? The message, therefore, is an appeal to the church of God. The message is an appeal to those in Christ that they may not find themselves then practicing lawlessness, that they may not find themselves breeding the very sin which the world should turn away from. John looks at the world as it were, and he concludes that the world is deceived. The world is lying in ruins, spiritual ruins and physical frustration. Then he turns his eyes towards the church, and he realizes that there is already a spirit plunging itself deep down into the veins of the church, deceiving, misleading everyone in the church. The spirit using a church member with the name of Diotrephes. And in that, my friends, I'm not suggesting that Diotrephes was a heretic or Diotrephes preached a false doctrine in the church. But what is clear here is that Diotrephes had a bad attitude. He was not a good example in a church. This is the kind of man you do not want to imitate. Diotrephes, if you look at Diotrephes' character, you can conclude that Diotrephes was actually not a saved man. Actually, there are signs which would suggest that Diotrephes was not saved. You can recall as you read this letter that the Apostle John says in verse number 9, they had written letters, but Diotrephes will stop to allow the people. He will not allow the people to receive the letters. Diotrephes understands the error that he is in, but Diotrephes will not listen. He has been warned in many different occasions to turn away from his sin, to hate evil, but he will not listen. So there is a great chance that Diotrephes was in the church, but Diotrephes was not a true regenerated child of God. And it is my conclusion, looking at his character, that this Diotrephes is far from the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, let me point out from this passage then the evil of Diotrephes, the evil that we should not imitate. Diotrephes had an undue sense of his own importance and self-love. That is the first thing you need to recognize with Diotrephes. He loved preeminence in the church, self-exaltation in the church. And in the process, he hurt the church, and then he distressed leadership in the church. Verse number 9. I have written something to the church, but Diotrephes, who likes to put himself above others, does not acknowledge our authority. He steals the joy within the church, having an attitude driven by pride. The very same pride which called Lucifer to be what he is today. Diotrephes is unlike the Jesus he is claiming to be imitating or is claiming to be following. The Jesus who emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in a human form, but he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Diotrephes is not like the Jesus, the Son of Man, who came not to be saved, but to save, and also to give his life a ransom for many. He hates those who serve in the church. The Bible says he turns them away. He stopped them from coming to church. And also he stopped those who want to show hospitality to others who come to the church. He's standing at the door, as it were. He's stopping everyone to come in. Diotrephus is not like the Jesus he claims to be following. This is the kind of people who wants to be worshipped, as it were. This is the kind of people who have the money. They would like to throw it around and have everybody eating in the palm of their hands. A people who holds position of power on the outside world, but then they come to the church and try to exercise the very same power in the church, looking down on the leadership and not caring for the inferior in the church. Their attitude is in contrary to the word of God. Their attitude is in contrary to God himself. They destroy the church. And such people, friends, cannot be friends of God. They do not hate evil. But what is more concerning is that Diotrephus refused to recognize the true apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only does he take preeminence in the church, he also refuses to recognize authority. You see that also in verse number 9. He will not submit to authority. He stands above the word of God. He stands above the leadership of the church. Sadly, there are many who does not want to recognize the authority and the particularity of the apostles even in our day. In their ignorance, they appoint each other apostles on daily basis or weekly basis, just to exercise preeminence, just to exercise power over others. They will ignore what the apostles received from Jesus Christ. They received it and they wrote it down for us all to know the truth. But they will ignore what came from Christ through the apostle. But they want a place of prominence in the church, and thereby destroying the church. The situation was very serious, my friends, as it is today. The church was suffering false teachers on the outside, people misrepresenting the gospel, people not belonging to the church, but also now there is someone destroying the body within. There is someone destroying the church of God on the inside, motivating hatred among the people of God. These are the kind of people who have reasonable theology, the kind of people who are good husbands and good wives, the kind of people who will attend all the meetings in the church. They are not absent in the church. They come early in the church. But their heart is far from the truth. Their heart is far from the living God. They are standing on the opposite end of the spiritual spectrum and poles apart from true Christianity, following satanic examples in the world. They are actually the champions of unbelief and the perpetrators of gossip inside the church. Diotrephus. Diotrephus went further than that, my friends. He slandered the apostles. Not only did he seek place of preeminence, not only did he ignore their authority, he actually slandered them. He spoke words against them. Verse number 9, if I'm not mistaken, or 10, says, it is verse 10, he says he was speaking wicked nonsense against the apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. Such people, friends, these are the people who gossip publicly against the leadership of the church. They gossip publicly and speak terrible words about them in their absence. What is their aim? Their aim is to create a false view of the leadership of the church to as many people as possible. That is the evil you should not imitate. That is the evil you should hate with the whole of your being. Coming against the leadership of the church that is set in by God himself. Not only did he love preeminence in the church, not only did he ignore the authority of the apostle, not only did he slander the apostle, but he also refused to welcome others in the church. He refused to welcome other believers in the house of God. This man is a man who is not rooted and grounded in love. He does not have the strength to comprehend with all the saints, what is the breadth, the length, the height, and the width of the law of the love of Christ, the love of Christ which surpasses all knowledge. He is not filled with the fullness of God, and consequently, he prefers a divided church. He will associate with a selected few. Friends, such attitude is sinful. Do not imitate it. Do not settle for it. Do not promote such unbiblical standard in the church. You need to hate it with the whole of your being, with every fiber of your soul. The Bible says he stopped those who welcomed missionaries. He put them out of the church, as I've mentioned before. He put those who want to show hospitality to others. This is the kind of people you need to be careful about. They create factions within the church of God and then intimidate the inferior. You need to stay away from the likes of Diotrephes, where we just read this morning the Old Testament reading. Psalm 37 verse 27 said, "Turn away from evil and do good, so shall you dwell forever." Friends, the message is very clear. If God has wrought righteousness into your life through the blood and the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, you should not have such an attitude, the attitude and behavior of Diotrephes, because it is a hypocritical attitude inside the church. How then do you confess your sin on a daily basis if this is your standard of living? If this is how you think and act within the church, how do you confess your sins to God? We need to stand in opposite ends to such things, especially if God has come to take residence in our hearts. And I believe that God has come to take residence in our hearts. The reason why we drew near to him this morning, waking up from our different homes, coming to worship him in songs and listening to the reading of his word, blessing his holy name, it is because he has come into our lives. He has settled in our soul. So what is needed from us is to act likewise. What is needed from us is to walk the walk that he walked, to walk in the truth. Just a reminder of the things that we should be and the things we should not be. But secondly, what should govern the Christian life is a Christ-like character. A Christ-like character should govern the Christian life. Verse number 11, imitate what is good. In other words, you must have a good role model, which is why I started by saying we are living in a world of superstars. They are those who want to shine as though they are the emblem of something important in this world. But we need to find a great and a superior, a good role model. We need to imitate God. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, "Be imitators of me as I am of Christ." Here the Apostle John says, "Imitate men like Gaius and Demetrius." A people who display a true Christian character. People who look unto Jesus and see in him a true model to imitate. We need to do all things for the glory of God. That is what the apostle is bringing to the church. In contrary to the behavior of Demetrius. In contrary to that behavior. You love God, and that love for God that burns within your heart, that love drives you to love your neighbor, that love drives you to love your brothers and sisters in the Lord. That love drives you to love missionaries, the very same missionaries we were praying for this morning. I'm so blessed and glad we love the missionaries, those who suffer for the name of the Lord. That love of God stays within our heart, such love, a love unexplainable. In actual fact, it drives us, the love for God, it drives us to walk in the very footsteps of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse number 11 says, whoever does good is from God. If you do good, you are from God. The reason why you do good, in other words, it is because we are from God. We are not from this world. Although we are still living in this world, but your life has been transformed. You have been taken from this world. Now you are seated with Christ in the heavenly places. I normally say, it has become an item for me. I normally say, even if you walk the dusty streets of Horizon, but your heavenly home awaits you, where we await a Savior who shall change our mortal bodies so that we be like him. Although we are cursed, although we may be looked down upon in the area of Krugersdorp, as minimum as we are, but we belong to God. So let your attitude be that of Christ. The reason you do good, it is because you belong to God. The Apostle John has two men doing good in the church, Gaius and Demetrius. Gaius, to me, sounds like, I'm not sure how old he was, but he was not well. His health was not responding as his faith was responding. So regardless of how old, how frail you may be, you still need to be that good model in the house of the Lord, doing good for the glory of Christ. The Bible tells us in verse number 12 that Demetrius had received good testimony from everyone. Can you imagine everyone talking good about one individual? But he also says he has received the testimony from the truth. In other words, the Holy Spirit testifies also of the words and the faith of Demetrius. How? How does the Holy Spirit testify in this? We see him walking according to the truth. We see him walking according to the statutes and the commandment of God that is set forth for us in this word. But the Apostle John adds and says, we also add our testimony. And you know that our testimony is true. So the Apostle John also has a good encouragement to bring to the church in the name of Demetrius. He's a well spoken of kind of a man in a church. He lives for Christ in the midst of chaos and disorder. He lives for Christ in the midst of false teaching and false Christianity out there. He is the emblem of righteousness and truth. He is faithful to the faith. Unlike those who forsake the faith and follow false prophets and antichrist. But he remains in the church living for God and for Christ in the midst of chaos. These are the kinds of men and women who are much involved in the life of the church behind the scene. The kind of people who doesn't find it a burden to come here Saturday morning, 7 a.m. to pray for the saints. This is the kind of people who knows that all Christians should be prayer warriors, but they take it upon themselves to be the prayer warriors in the house of the Lord. Nobody pushes them behind. They walk the walk. They talk exactly the same thing that they walk. They lead the church in the right way. They are the prayer warriors of the church, pulling strings, as it were, through their prayers, behind the scenes, making everything going well in the church through prayer. They believe that God hears and answers prayers. The Demetrius of the church. This is the kind that we must imitate. These are the people with a God-like character, a Christ-like character. They go the extra mile, my friends. They imitate the good they see in Christ Jesus. They imitate the life of holiness and righteousness. They imitate the love for sinners they see on the Lord Jesus Christ. They imitate the love for the church they see on the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for the church and hung on that cross, that me and you may be adopted as sons and daughters of God. The love of Christ. Look at those nails in his hands and feet. Tell me you don't see love. They imitate the love of Christ. They give themselves to the work of God. The Demetrius. They imitate the willingness of Christ. Willingness to listen and obey his Father. Willingness to sacrifice himself for his elect. John chapter 13, verse 35. We all know the verse. It says, "By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." How are they going to know? If you love one another, if you accept one another in the house of the Lord, if you become one as God intends for you to be, they shall see that you are my disciples. A Christ-like character, my friends, is a reflection of Christ in you, a reflection of the Son of God in the life of the believer. It is the evidence of Christianity. If you turn back a little bit to 1 John chapter 3, verse 10, this is what the Bible says. "By this it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil." How is it evident? "Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor the one who does not love his brother." That is how it is evident whether you belong to God or you belong to the world. Loving the brother. A Christ-like character, friends, is also a response of faith. It is a response of faith. It is a declaration that you cherish the old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame, where the dearest and best for sinners was slain. A Christ-like character, my friend, knows nothing of the pagans. It knows nothing of the world, nothing among the pagans except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Those of the Christ-like character, they are molded and shaped into the likeness of Christ Jesus. Molded as the work of the potter will mold his vessel. You are molded and shaped into the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. The great example you become in the house of the Lord. Those who are of God, not only do they imitate Christ Jesus, but they keep the standard. What is the standard? They imitate other godly and faithful Christians in this world. They read the lives of Spurgeon. They read the life of of John Owen and all the Puritans. Then they live in accordance. They learn from one another. They consider history as something that Christ has set forth for us to learn from as well. They keep the standard. We do not become a different church than the church that was before. We keep the standards. I'm grateful I didn't hear any kind of contemporary music and hip-hop thing going on in this church. I'm grateful. No, just because I don't like it. Those of God, they keep the standard. They are hospitable. They welcome others. They do what is good in the eyes of the Lord. They do what is good and pleasing in the sight of God. They hold the rope as it were. What do I mean by that? They remain behind and strengthen the missionaries and pray for the pastors and the teachers of the Word of God. They support the work of God in prayer and practically. They hold the rope as it were. They honor those who suffer shame for the name of the Lord. Those who labor to bring many sinners to Christ. These are the kind of people who lead many men to think highly of God through their example of faithfulness and obedience in the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3 says, they walk in the truth. Friends, imitating what is good can only happen once a person possesses a rich and healthy soul. Once a person is regenerated by the power of the Holy Spirit and transformed by the renewing of the mind, transformed by the cross of Jesus Christ, only then one can produce a God-like character. Only then the soul will understand spiritual truth, the very spiritual truth which were mysterious before. Only then the soul understands. Once one comes to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. To imitate what is good begins by one, this one good and noble thing, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. To have lifted your eyes as it were, look unto heaven, and from there on then the Spirit of God produces life within you. He begins to work in you both to will and to do according to his purpose and will. You possess then a God-like character, transformed daily by the renewing of your mind, transformed daily to the image of his Son. That's when you begin to act likewise. It must start from on high. That is why he says, if you are born of God, you do good. You must be born of God. Then you will produce good. You don't produce good to be born of God. It must be the fruit of your salvation. Let me make this appeal, my friends. Be light of the world. Let there be no area of your life that is covered by your own sufficiency. Let the sufficiency of Christ affect your life to the fullest. Let it impact your soul on a daily basis. There should be a clear harmony, a clear balance between doctrine and practical life. In other words, there should be a clear balance between what you're being taught in this church and how you act out there. What I've learned is what I do. We must not only be the hearers, but also the doers. That is the apostles' plea. A plea 2,000 years ago, a plea also today. We must live out our Christian life. Listen to what Dr. Steve Lawson says, and I quote, "Our belief must govern our behavior," end quote. In other words, a God-like character should govern your life and lead you to imitate God. but deadly. What will govern your life is the prospect of judgment. Knowing that one day you shall stand before the Holy God and give account. Verse number 10 says, so if I come, I will bring up what he is doing. So the Apostle Paul is going to take full measures. He will discipline this young man or old man, whatever he was. But friends, I want you to notice that Diotrephus, that is the man we must not imitate. Diotrephus did not just sin against the church or against the apostle. In verse 11, the apostle says, whoever does evil has not seen God. I'm aware that there are many Christians today who are ignorant of the fact that one day we shall also stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And of course, in that, I don't mean that we will stand and be judged like the world. But it is clear from the word of God that we shall give an account of all deeds and talks we ever done and said. Anything we have ever said. But what we see here is that the apostle is going to come and bring up, is going to confront this Diotrephus. But I want to take this to a next level. Listen to what the Apostle John says. He says, whoever has not seen God is not of God, but of the devil. I just said in verse 11, he says, whoever does evil has not seen God. He says then, whoever has not seen God is not of God, but of the devil. He is of the Antichrist, who you heard was coming into the world, and now many Antichrists are in the world. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 12, if you will, you may just turn and look there. 1 John chapter 4, verse 12, the apostle says, if we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. And this Diotrephus, my friend, does not have this love abiding in him. That is the reason then, verse number 10 says, if I come, I will bring up what he is doing. His conduct says to the apostle, his conduct says to the entire church, he has not seen God. He has no fruit of repentance. He has no fruit for God's love within his heart. He does not love the brethren. He does not love the church. He does not have the Spirit of God guiding him. Does not have the Spirit of God which enables us to love one another and to love our neighbors as Christ loved us. And for that reason, Diotrephus has brought upon himself condemnation. That is what this character brings. That is what this behavior brings. It brings condemnation. If I come, I will bring up what he is doing. I want you to notice, his condemnation is now. First, that's number one. His condemnation is now. When I come in this life, when I come as an apostle, where the church will gather together, as the leadership will gather together, I will bring up what he's doing. Discipline will be exercised upon this soul. He will be called out of the church. He will be called out as a goat among the sheep. The whole church will finally see. The whole church will finally realize that he is among them, but not of them. Regardless of the fact that he continues to be in the church. Regardless of the fact that he does not skip church. But the church will finally know that he is not of them. Just like those who had gone out of the church, that it may be seen that they do not belong to church. But I want you to notice, not every enemy of the gospel leaves the church. That's very important. Not every enemy of the gospel leaves the church. Here is Diotrephus in the church. Some people remain in the church. They rain hell in the church, misleading and misguiding the church, simply because they have not seen God. They don't want to be accountable. All that they want to do is to stir trouble wherever they go, to stir trouble in the church. They are under a curse, and the wrath of God remains upon them. All such Diotrephes will one day be accountable for their crimes. Listen to what John Gill, in his commentary, says, and I quote, "Not only will John tell him the evil that he has done, or tell the church the evil that he has done to his face, but he will make mention of them and expose the evil to the whole church and reprove him for them." The church will take full measures. The church has the right to take full measures against such a behavior. I said, the condemnation is now. That is what the church exercises when? Right now. But I want you to also note, it is actually means of grace to be called in this lifetime and to be reproved in the church. It is the grace of God. You better be reproved right now than to be reproved later, because the condemnation is also later. There comes a day where the dead, great and small, will stand before the throne, and books will be opened. Then another book will be opened, which is the book of life. And the dead will be judged by what is written in the books, according to what they had done. The sea will give up the dead who are in it. Death and Hades will also give up the dead who are in them. And they will be judged, each one of them according to what they had done. And if anyone's name is Diotrephes, if anyone's name will not be found written in the book of life, he will be cast, he will be thrown into the lake of fire. This condemnation is future. That is why I said it should be something that is motivated by regeneration. Because if there is no regeneration, the cleansing of the soul from all iniquity, the road that we travel only leads to one place. Have we come out of that road? Have we come to faith in Jesus Christ? Have we repented of our sins? Have we called upon Him? Lord Jesus, here am I, a sinner. Have mercy on me, O wretched man that I am. Who shall save me from this body of death? But blessed be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for He alone can save me. Lead me, O Jehovah, to the fountain of life, that I may be found immersed unto your presence, as it were. That one day I may be found seated by your side, having joy and gladness in my heart, looking back and see that the Lord was indeed good by hanging on that cross and died for me, saying, "It is finished," and my sins were finished. Have you come to that understanding? Have you come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Does the prospect of judgment drive you to imitate what is good, my friends? Matthew 10, verse 28 says, "Do not fear those who kill the body and cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both the body and the soul and throw to hell." Does the prospect of judgment turn you from who you are to be the person that Christ wants you to be? Because if that is what it is, if it does, then there will be no such malicious words against leadership and authority in the church. There will be no such hatred of other people and other races in the church. The xenophobic attacks, tribalism, racism, friends, such behavior is a gateway to hell. Unless you turn from your wicked ways, unless we all come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that all have done such a thing. I pray that this is just a reminder. I pray that this is just
a sermon that becomes informational in a way for us to take to the world. Turn from your wicked ways. Come to the Lord.
Jehoshaphat, friends, is liable for judgment. What is judgment? Judgment is a public separation of the ungodly and the godly. A public separation of the righteous and the unrighteous. It is God's display of his holy hatred of sin. The Bible tells us that when the Son of Man comes in his glory, or with the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will gather all the nations and separate, and he will separate the people like a shepherd separating the sheep from the goat. He is coming back again to judge the living and the dead. But praise to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we have found him through his Son. We are able then to imitate what is good. Friends, do not follow evil. Do not follow the world out there. But also be not the Diotrephes in the church. You must be correctable. You must be adjustable. You must be advisable. You must be reasonable. Do not be the reason why the church is not growing. Because you are standing at the door. You speak nonsense against the leadership. And consequently, you mistreat other people. Walk in the truth. Give the spotlight to the Lord Jesus Christ. May he be the one who takes the preeminence in our souls, in our lives, at school, in our homes. Welcome the visitors. Welcome the sojourners in your country and home. Love the truth. Acknowledge authority in the church. It is God who has set up the authority in the church. He is God who chosen this leadership in this church to love and to care for the flock. Submit to them. Be humble and serve with willingness, the willingness of heart. Seek to glorify God, not self. Support the missionaries. Pray for them. Be hospitable. But also as a church, I want you to be careful. Be careful of an autocratic leadership in the church. We need a theocratic leadership in the church. A leadership which imitates good. A leadership which also follows the good examples of good men. A leadership which serves the church with love. A leadership which motivates unity in the church. A leadership which deals equally and faithfully with all the brethren. Let us not be a people who come to find in church a platform for popularity. Let none of us think that coming to church or church attendance is what distinguishes the believer from the unbeliever. Be at enmity with evil. Have a Christ-like character. Be mindful of the judgment of God. Imitate good. Imitate Christ by walking in the light of God. By walking in the truth. Let us pray. Faithful, wonderful God, thank you for your reminder, O God, that we must imitate you, that we must walk in the light, because we are the light of the world, the salt of the earth. Help us this morning. Let us be filled with your presence as we meditate, contemplate on your word. Help us, O God, not to be some kind of submarine Christians who sneak up on Sunday to church and sink deep in sin throughout the week. May Christ's love and joy be upon us. In Jesus' name, we all say amen. Thank you, friends. May we all then sing together hymn 855. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, dominion, and authority before all time, now and forever. The Church of God say Amen.